God is calling. God is calling you, and God is calling me. Calling us home. But just what does that mean for us as we continue this earthly journey toward our heavenly home? This being the season of Lent, the obvious answer might be that God is calling us to repentance. That's the obvious answer, and it is true. But repentance can be done too easily, too superficially. In fact, we can actually repent in a way that deceives us and those around us. Lent is traditionally and historically a penitential season, and repentance is what we do, I stress do, in penitential seasons. But doing repentance is not enough. Our text for this evening, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 says, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout your time of your exile." As wonderful as life can be sometimes in this world, we are still in exile from our true home. There are dangers and deceptions all around us, and one temptation for us is simply going through the motions of doing outward repentance without a real change of heart. Jesus complains about people who just go through religious motions. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Matthew chapter 15. So I ask you to listen with care and maybe with a little anxiety, lest we forget that we're headed to the holy God who expects us to come to him in true holiness. "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Holiness describes the inmost nature of God, his divine perfection. "Holy, holy, holy," the seraphim sing in Isaiah's vision of the heavenly throne room from Isaiah 6. We just sang "Holy, holy, holy" in the popular hymn from the Lutheran service book. But I have to wonder, do we sometimes sing that with too much familiarity? I think that sometimes we do. After all, God is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Who can understand the being of the transcendent God? You may remember God thundering at Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" God's holiness, his unequaled being, is not simply an academic concept to be grasped. God's holiness, God's being, is so great that it produces an emotional reaction that should seize our entire being. Please get this, because it's so essential to Lent. I'll say it again. God's holiness is so great that it should seize our entire being. Our reaction to God's incomprehensible being, that feeling that seizes our innermost being, is fear. Fear caused by the holiness of God. When we learn the explanations to the Ten Commandments, we memorize, we should fear. But it's not just not fear that we memorized, right? It was that we should fear and love God. So it's important for us to understand what this fear is that makes us love him. The fear of God is not mindless fear. It's not cowering fear. Nor should we be deceived into the opposite extreme, superficial understanding of God. The fear of God is an awe, a reverence, a shut-me-up stillness, not just at the holiness of God, but especially, and this is the important part, especially that the Holy One comes to us and teaches us to call him Father. Our text says, "If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile." This fear is not just that we will come before a judging God on our last heartbeat. Well, that is scary enough, but it is that he knows us. He knows our innermost thoughts and knows our every action. My daughter-in-law, Jessica, is at a point in her pregnancy where she had an ultrasound on Monday to make sure that's all okay with the baby. They also were able to determine the sex of the baby, and we know what it is. It is a secret. But isn't it amazing how modern technology has advanced so much that you can actually take a picture, maybe a video even, of your unborn baby? And the clarity and the definition is outstanding. Now just think about what our Almighty God sees inside of us. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Proverbs chapter 20. He doesn't just see the outside, but he can really see what's going on inside our hearts and our minds. Oh, God has every right to punish us for our sins. But true as that is, it's not the fear of punishment that wows us this Lent. No, what amazes us is that God is for us and not against us. God is calling us home. We are journeying him to him. And he's already coming out to greet us, coming to greet us like the father greeted the prodigal son, coming to us while we were still on the way, coming to us in his son Jesus Christ to lead us home. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, from Psalm 34. The fear of God in us looks to Jesus to lead us to be holy, not just do holy things. So what does it mean to be holy in a place like this, when we come to worship, when we come to repentance? We are surrounded by holy things, church architecture, church furnishings, special clothes, special robes, classrooms and conversations, rituals and liturgies, all seemingly holy things that make us look holy to others and deceitfully tempt us to shallowness. Remember Jesus' complaint? This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I'll say it again. We are surrounded by holy things that make us look holy to others and can tempt us to shallowness, to doing repentance instead of being truly repentant. Martin Luther talks about a pure heart. It's quite a long quotation, but I think it's worth hearing. Then what is a pure heart? In what does it consist? The answer can be given quickly, and you do not have to climb up to heaven or run to a monastery for it and establish it with your own ideas. You should be on your guard against any ideas that you call your own, as if they were just so much mud and filth. And you should realize that when a monk in a monastery is sitting in deepest contemplation, excluding the world from his heart altogether, and thinking about the Lord God the way he himself paints and imagines him, he is actually sitting, if you will pardon the expression, in the dung. Not up to his knees, but up to his ears. For he is proceeding on his own ideas without the word of God. And that is sheer deception and delusion, as Scripture testifies everywhere. What is meant by a pure heart is this: one that is watching and pondering what God says and replacing its own ideas with the word of God. This alone is pure before God, yes, purity itself, which purifies everything that it includes and touches. Therefore, though a common laborer, a shoemaker, or a blacksmith may be dirty and sooty or may smell because he is covered with dirt and pitch, still he may sit at home and think, "My God has made me a man. He has given me my house, my wife, and my child, and has commanded me to love them and to support them with my work." Note that he is pondering the word of God in his heart. And though he stinks outwardly, inwardly, he is pure incense before God. But if he attains the highest purity so that he also takes hold of the gospel and believes in Christ, without this, that purity is impossible. Then he is pure completely, inwardly in his heart toward God, and outwardly toward everything under him on earth. That's from Luther's Works, Volume 21. Is worship sometimes just another chore to be completed? Do we take the words of the liturgy seriously? "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Are we heartily sorry for the sins we commit? Do we sincerely repent of them? Luther's words should make us all concerned to be holy and not just do holy things. Like when we just go through the motions of repentance or of a worship service. We are to be holy, completely holy. A seminary professor wondered about it this way. Since our church claims to have the correct teaching of the Bible, and I believe we do, are we taking the word for granted and looking to other things? If we believe we have decided that our understanding of the Bible and gospel is correct, are we moving on to something more advanced? I admit that while I was an S&P student, I sometimes thought the same thing. We spent way more time reading other books than the Bible, than reading the Bible itself. Even though I knew the seminary required a pretty thorough knowledge of the Bible before ever starting the courses, and tested to verify this knowledge in their entrance exams, it would still pop into my head on occasion. And now after classes are over, I find myself even more challenged to be in the Word. If it's that way for a pastor, what might it be like for you? Are we tempted to take holiness for granted? Have we forgotten the beneficial fear of God? Do we see that our only holiness is in Jesus, the Word? Have we become too comfortable and too careless in our exile here, away from our heavenly home? Oswald Chambers wrote, "The characteristic of a disciple is not that he does good things, but that he is good in motive, because he has been made good by the supernatural grace of God." Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is in these words that we are restored, that we are made holy. Whether a pastor or a layperson, being holy precedes doing. The only thing that exceeds right doing is right being. So I challenge you this evening to take to heart what being holy, 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 is all about. It's not about punching the time card of Christianity, going through the motions, sitting through enough worship services to purchase fire insurance for yourself. You know, fire insurance, so you don't burn in hell. That's doing holy. Being holy is about the awesome fear of God that seizes your whole being, which penetrates to the deepest recesses of your soul, a fear that controls your hearts and your minds. It's about being, not doing. If you look at today's worship bulletin, you see that the sermon title is a play on the words of the hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy." God is holy. And when he tells us to be holy, he means completely holy. Holy, holy, through and through holy. During this time of Lent, God is calling us home to true repentance. I pray that in the fear of God, you will love his Son more and more every day and be found holy, holy, holy in Jesus on that glorious day when we answer his call to come home. And it is in his name that we say, Amen.